Reddito.
Hare Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare
to welcome all of you. Promise you that we will go now quite deeper, or much deeper than yesterday. But I would like to summarize yesterday so that we can build upon it and continue where we left off. First of all, it was important for me to describe the entry point into kirtan. In Sanskrit, the word is shraddha, or faith. But this word can be used in different cultural or spiritual contexts. For the devotees who worship Krishna, faith is the right translation, but those who, let us say, want to just make an experience with kirtan and not yet commit themselves, for them it is a conviction that you need in order to reach anything in spiritual life, give your 100%. If the ant gives its 100%, which is relatively small in comparison to us, the ant is perfect. But if we, who have Alan Fent-like qualities and strengths, give, let us say, 50% of ourselves, it may be so much bigger in comparison to the ant, but our success is so much smaller in comparison to the ant. The ant has given 100%, we have given 50%, the ant will make more spiritual advancement than us. So this conviction, Patanjali, the great yoga master, calls it also an utsahan, an enthusiasm, is necessary to get into the kirtan experience. If you only put your toe in it, you make your toe wet. But if you immerse yourself, then the kirtan or the transcendental sound vibration can very much work on you. Then we also heard how this is so, why faith or conviction is so important. It brings with it a whole caravan of good qualities. My analogy is when you have the first camel in a camel caravan going left to the into the oasis, all the other camels who carry frankincense on their back, dates, costly carpets, etc., follow that first camel. And so that first initial quality must be faith or conviction, but then so many other camels will follow, or qualities will follow. That is first and foremost virya. Virya means strength, spiritual strength. And after that comes smriti, that is, you remember at the important junction of your life, this is a spiritual thing is most helpful. And from it come deep absorption and finally realization. But it always starts with the first quality, with the first camel, so to say, and so on. I also touched briefly upon sambandha, knowledge, proper understanding, and the awareness of who is Krishna, whose name we chant, the jiva, who are we, and what is this world. But I touched it very briefly, and I might go, I will go for sure a little bit deeper into this aspect of sambandha or connection. There was a mind, let me put this off so that I can see you. There was a mind blowing article in Psychology Today which said 10 minutes of kirtan is more effective than 3 hours of meditation. And what in the article, that was one statement in the article, what the article said is that it has been seen that those who go into kirtan can get rid of qualities like anxieties, worries, stress, what to speak of gross attachment. Of they don't speak of gross attachment. They speak of desires. Mm. This is, by the way, a very auspicious sound at the beginning of a lecture when someone sneezes. According to Naimiti Shastra, the knowledge of reading signs, this should be the best session which we have. And your sneezing was had a charismatic sound to it. It was really good. See, by the chanting in kirtan, two effects are there. These, you could say, contaminations, or thank you so much. Everyone takes so nice care of me here in Radhish. Thank you. You are welcome. Oh, yeah. This thermos has traveled with me everywhere. Its brother went to Mountain Kailash, but then it died there. So this is the brother of that. Thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. So it moves the removes the weaknesses of the heart, but in addition, it brings love of Krishna in the heart. So therefore, the kirtan is said to be more effective than the meditation even. Now, but it helps if you frame the experience with a proper understanding. Frame means you put a proper mental conception, this is not a conception, understanding around it, and it works much better. I would like to give you an example. Pundarik, if you don't mind, but Pundarik, you have captured my heart 30 years ago. If I go, Pundarik is a doctor, general health practitioner. If I go to if I have a problem and I go to the general health practitioner, and it depends very much on my frame of mind what I will make out of the meeting. For instance, if I know he is a good, this person can help me, then I will not waste our time. I will immediately talk. This is the situation, these are the circumstances, and I wish to have your advice. Then I can get a lot from it. But if I say, oh, Pundarik, you're from England, let us talk about why England had to lose in the World Cup. Then I will, with that frame of understanding, not get my job of health done. I will get anything else done. Or let me say, framing this experience for you. If you go with an open mind into this experience of visiting the kirtan course, and say, and you say to yourself, okay, ultimately, when we talk about kirtan, we talk about a spiritual practice. I can't really understand everything with a rational understanding. Let me therefore, just for the time when I'm here, open myself up and be just willing to explore. With that frame of mind, you come much more deeper into the experience than with a challenging frame, for instance. And I must say, I'm only here now for 1.5 days with you, but I can see by the atmosphere which we have in the room that all of you, although I can see from the expressions of your faces are not always totally, let me say, touched by everything you hear in a positive way, but you bring this openness with you to explore it. And that means you can get to know something which is beyond what you already know. You are, and so on. Now, I saw this once in India. I was there, I just came out of one of the ancient temples, the Govinda Ji Mandir, and I saw a group of tourists before the entrance. And I understood from their talking that they came from Germany. And I know this language very well, it's my mother language. I spoke in the finest of my German, that's what we call Hochdeutsch, you know, and then there's the part about amongst the high Germans which the aristocratic people like to speak, so I chose that type of language, that why not go into the temple? And then they looked at me and said, we are not in Jaipur to go into temples. We want to see the observatorium. I don't know the English word for it, but it's something where you can see the stars in the sky. Is there an English word for it?
Planetarium.
Planetarium, maybe.
Or observatory.
What?
Observatory.
Yeah, it's made with stones and with angles and so on. And I said, yeah, that you can do everywhere in the world. But here are temples. We are not Hindus. Okay. I bow down to your exalted understanding of reality. Nothing is Hindu or Christian. It just is. There are different interpretations of reality. But I did not want to get into an argument. I said, I wish that you will see the Dhruva star. And then they said, what's the Dhruva star? Ask your person, your guide. So I wanted to just make the point here. A frame which I put in my mind will help me to see things or not see things. This is very important for kirtan. We call this sambandha, the understanding which brings people in their proper relationship. And there are four points which we are taught in the ancient scriptures which help us with the right sambandha. Would you like to know it? Know them. First of all, someone who chants concerns himself with the transcendental nature of the holy name. See, for my ears it's a music. It sounds, and there are syllables, but there is something which may escape my immediate eyes, and that's the transcendental or spiritual nature inside. The second point which someone tries to understand is when he chants names of Krishna, like the Hare Krishna mantra, or Govinda, Gopala, or there are many, many mantras. He tries to understand Krishna's position. The third is we try to understand our own spiritual nature. And the fourth is we try to understand how this world works upon us, how it influences us, how it in times frames our experience. So this understanding of sambandha, I know it's a little theoretical, is translated into three meditations which are given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura. That is, first of all, we start with us. I'm inside the body. I'm looking through the windows of the eyes. I'm hearing through the ears. I'm smelling through my nose. I'm touching through my tactile senses and so on. But I am different from the senses which form part of my body, my physical body. I'm within. I'm inside as an observer. We start there. And then we go further. We do the second step. We move towards Krishna. Krishna is my is the all-powerful conscious being and my only Lord and Master. So this is the connection between the individual soul and God. To put it in an easy word, or easy thing, is that I can tell you what I do with these two points. When I sing kirtan, I take myself consciously out of what I'm doing, if I manage to. It was difficult because I just woke up from sleep and I'm a little bit dizzy or groggy, they say in German. But I always try to think, here I am in this material world, in the body, and I'm addressing the all-powerful Krishna. I'm standing really before the throne of God, if you so wish, and sing for him. And the third meditation is, I'm here in this world in order to grow, in order to learn, in order to move forward in my relationship. I want to do a kirtan with you with this simple framing. We have chosen a melody. You're with us. Nima, I believe you need to take that wooden thing off. You can put it here with your bibik so that I will give you a sign when you play it. So, can I request you to sit tall? At this moment, let us put our distraction machines called mobile telephones to the side. We start by looking in front of us, maybe at an imaginary point, just 1 meter or so in front of us, and softening our gaze. Please watch me, like if I'm I'm look like this, but no. I'm softening my gaze. I do a few deep inhales and exhales. I consciously draw the air in through the nostril, and I breathe out through the mouth. We do a quick body scan. Please be aware of your feet. And on an exhale, relax them. Now when we exhale, we exhale through the nose. We in and exhale through the nose. On the next exhale, let us relax our bottom, where we sit. Let us correct our posture now, sit a little straighter, but not in a strained way. Become aware of the trunk of your body, with all the organs inside. And then exhale, relax it. Soften your muscles. Become aware of your shoulders and the arms. Exhale, relax and soften the muscles. Maintain deep breathing in and out, but not forced. Be aware of the in and outgoing breath. When you breathe in, you can say to yourself, in, or when you breathe out, say to yourself, out, for the duration of your exhale. Now become aware of your facial muscles. And relax them on an exhale. Nice and relaxed breathing in and out. Whenever you inhale, you take air from the ocean of air which surrounds you. And when you exhale, you return the air. You can observe the air flowing in and out of you. You're different from the air. Do another body scan. Just go in your mind through the feet, the legs, the trunk of your body, the arms, the face. You can observe the body. It's like a shirt which you wear. For a moment, put it on the hanger. Relax it. That's your hanger. It is there, like a shirt which you have put on a hanger. You can observe it. You're different from that body. Now scan a little bit your mind. what is going on? What is the inner attitude, the mood? Maybe there's a thought. Let all this mental imagery, thoughts, desires, pass as if they are clouds which appear and disappear. You can observe your mind. You're different from the mind. By your nature, you are a spark of consciousness, an individual self. Infinitesimal, but eternal. The next is, there is outside of you a powerful presence, all pervading. At the same time, personal, that means able to enter a relationship and to sustain a relationship. We in this world just to establish that spiritual relationship. Kirtan is our spiritual call to enter into that relationship. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. bit louder. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Thank you.
very, very much. Before we have a little pause, I would like to summarize. Kirtan is more than folklore singing. Kirtan is a deeply spiritual practice which touches on what we call sadhana. Sat means eternal. These are things which prepare us for the eternal, for the spiritual life. Now, in order to do like this, to practice on this level and experience on this level, we require a certain frame which we put around the experience, because it is this frame which will describe, or which will, let me say, ensure a certain experience. The frame which is suggested in the Gaudiya tradition is taking the principal elements of all spiritual schools. It means to exit a certain illusion and to enter into a spiritual reality. The way this is done in this tradition is, in my mind, very complete. We first of all come to the real self. We leave the wrong self behind by understanding I'm a soul. The second step we do is I'm a part of the Supreme. I'm not a part of a political party or a country or a nationality or a language group or even a civilization group. But I'm a part of God. And then we give purpose to what we do by meditating that my purpose really is to enter into this lost relationship or re-establish this relationship. This is called sambandha. It is said without this sambandha, without this framing, the chanter has a shadow experience. The shadow is also very nice, but it is not giving the taste, the shadow of a strawberry, for instance, or of a mango, is giving some idea about what the substance might be, but it is not delivering the taste, the rush, as we want. So this, it is said, for this sambandha gyan, this knowledge which puts things into the proper relationship, no? We are approaching a spiritual guide, a spiritual master, and the eternal Vedic scriptures. So fine, this is the theoretical part. Now we will have a little break, an active break, I should always say, move a little and breathe a little bit, and then we will meet for more deeper techniques of absorption. It's the Samaniya technique we will learn. Fine, I see you in 15 minutes. I guess we need to make an effort. I have now 12:30. Is it your time also?
Yes.
Good, so 12:45.
This is Haribol.
In my first session, I was not so satisfied with myself,
with what I said. It was not clear if I would really, you know, was really able to express. And I notice when I just read from notes or take help of notes, it doesn't always come out the way it should come out. Mm. what is important for me to say is that if we want to enter the kirtan experience in total, we really have to understand what the culture around us, around the kirtan, what the culture around the kirtan has to give us for tips. I'm a friend of many kirtan singers, also of the yoga scene, and we have very friendly relationships and I come to the festivals, but when they say that kirtan gives you your lost voice back, what they mean is that then I think that that's not all, it goes deeper. What they mean is that the modern entertainment industry has taken the voice from people. In the old times, in houses, there would be a piano and the family would sit together and sing. Or in where I come from my background, I would bring my violin. I didn't play very nicely, but the whole family would sing and dance. You know, it was. We were not dependent on recordings, pre-recorded music, or we made music ourselves. So some kirtan singers say, well, kirtan brings back the music to the folks. They can sing. It's very relatively easy to learn an instrument like that. Or the drum, you can just beat it in any way. It's good if you stay in the rhythm and finished. And then in my heart I think, well, for some people this may be for starting all right, and maybe it's for sure, and who am I to, I mean, a spiritual person doesn't judge others. But I take my friends aside from the kirtan scene and I say, there's a whole spiritual culture behind it which brought forth kirtan. And if we impute, or take away that vast ocean of spiritual knowledge, it's almost like the story of the half hen. Do you know that story? There was this farmer who had a hen, and every day the hen gave him an egg. And he thought, the egg I can sell, but the grains, etc., that I use to feed the hen are so expensive. The prices grow on the market. So let us be intelligent here. Let us keep the economic part, the back part of the hen, and let us cut the expensive part, the front part of the hen. And then we can only have the egg, and we don't need to feed the poor thing. So he slaughtered his hen, basically. He cut the head off, and he was surprised that the hen didn't give its egg any longer. So I think we are expert, we Westerners, to cut the hen. That is to take things out of context, and then we wonder why the experience which we make is not as deep as it could be. So this information which I tried to touch upon, it's really a basic understanding, the understanding of sambandha, which should be there. I see this also, you know, I'm a member of the Hare Krishna movement, as you can see by my dress. But amongst my own siblings, spiritual siblings, I see someone say, let us just sing, let us just sing. And as sympathetic this practical approach to reality is, it won't deliver the same deep experience as when you sing for Krishna. In Kirtan Yoga, where you enter a space where you connect with the Lord of your heart, and where love and affection and devotion are all of a sudden moving your thirsty heart, which is thirsty from trying to taste the pleasures of this world, but has not really made the experience. So good. Not good. It's not good that this is there. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about the question of absorption, and I want to take you now a step further. Meditative absorption. What we introduced to you is a technique where you focus and use this point in between the eyebrows almost as a lens to bring your multifarious thoughts together and bring it on the in the transcendental sound vibration. There is a, I just, someone put this here. In the Bhagavad Gita there is something very nice. Spashan kritva bahir bayams. One should keep the sense objects outside of himself. And shakshucha eva antare. One should bring his vision between bruvaho, the eyebrows. Let me not try to be a Sanskrit scholar here, I will just read the English to you. Shutting out all external sense objects, keeping his eyes and vision concentrated between the two eyebrows. The transcendentalist, aiming at liberation, becomes free from desire, fear, and anger. So this idea of focus between the eyebrows is a very ancient process, and I'm happy I couldn't find it yesterday. I'm happy that I have it now. I will take this with me and study it a little bit more. That's the first thing, and I would love to do a simple exercise with you where we learn focus, and then I will bring you to another technique which is the opposite from focus. It is to receive, not to make an effort, but to receive. For that, another point is used, that is at the back of the skull, a mama point, another point, so which you just receive, almost like a sailor receives wind in order to move forward. He doesn't move forward on his own effort. He connects to strength or power or energy that is beyond himself. And that is another technique you apply in the kirtan. You just let go and let the sound vibration carry you. But I would really like to first try this focusing, and we will do that by this Vishaya technique. Are you ready? Are you tired? Not especially. You look all right. At least you smile very joyfully. You have a wonderful audience, so that is. Who of you has ever been in a cathedral? Cathedral. Cathedral. In, are some of you traveling over Cologne? You have traveled or will travel? There is a beautiful cathedral. It's the biggest in northern Germany. In Berlin we have also big ones. But this, I once visited with a friend of mine, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. We were really impressed. So if you have a pause between airlines, or I don't know how you travel, please use that. It's quite impressive. Let me see, because so many spiritually minded people have gone into it and have made experiences, in many cases life-changing experiences, and so on. But you have all seen a cathedral, is it? Pictures? Because I will request you to build your own cathedral. That's why I need to know that you know what you do. So once again, I will introduce a mantra for you. You all know Om. There's another Bija mantra, a seed mantra. It is Ram. Very powerful mantra, and you will experience in a second. If we can get this right, yes. Sit properly. And simply focus on your incoming and outgoing breath. I know, Nima, it's hard for you, but soon we will play. And as you focus on the mind, on the breath, relax so that you come into a peaceful state of mind. What many do who want to relax in a very short time, and we will not give so much time this time, the relaxation part is whenever you breathe out, and please breathe out through the nose, you just relax the body. And relax also your thoughts. Imagine you enter a cathedral. See the stone floor with the wooden benches. Chandeliers sparkle overhead, hanging on long wires from the dome. And form a picture of the dome. The benches and the stone floor, they correspond with your seat. That's where you sit. The cathedral will soon turn into the body, which chandeliers, that's your heart area. And the dome is that spacious area, is your own skull. Please now concentrate on that spot of your vision, that spot between the eyebrows. In your mind, go to that bench area, the seat, and bring the sound Ram in there. I will one time chant this Bija mantra alone, and then we will all chant it together 5 times. Level, the area where the chandeliers are hanging suspended in space. I will chant one time alone, and then we all chant together. Try to bring the sound in this area. You should feel that you are vibrated and bathed through the sound. We will now move up to the dome. That's the area, the top of our skull. And we will bring Ram in there. Again, focus, please, to make the experience. Practice to just get the point. Samaniya. Up till now you have actively focused, except maybe for one or two who were not able to participate, but now we want to go into the passive reception. When we chant kirtan, it's a mixture of both. It's sometimes we concentrate, and sometimes we do not concentrate any longer. We alternate and just go to reception. Just receiving it. Just allowing ourselves to be affected and carried, moved by the power of transcendental sound. In a way, our spiritual life requires both our conscious effort, but then also our readiness and willingness to just receive the Lord's infinite mercy in the form of His most merciful manifestation in this world, His own holy names. So for this exercise, which is really only a preparation for what comes, in the kirtan part, I request you to go into the cathedral of sound again. This time there are many people around. You take your seat and you chant with them together the syllable Ram, a divine syllable, and you just receive the sound vibration, the power of the sound. It will help you to bring your attention away from that frontal part where you focused and concentrated. And switch sides and bring it to the back. Those of you who are more devotional oriented can just open their hearts for this. And in this way, receive. But it helps to make the attempt to experience just the possibilities which our gross and subtle body have for us, so that we can utilize this most perfect instrument for spiritual practice by taking into account all the possibilities. Okay, attention please to the back of the skull. We are in the Cathedral of Sound, very safe, and we will chant now Ram. I will chant one time alone, and then we will chant about 10 times. We will get a signal when it's time to end. Just listen, just hear, just receive. Become passive if you can.
Yeah.
there's a holy place where I regularly go, and I think I saw Madhva there and Sundari. I saw also last year Surabhi was there. Krishangi Leela is always there. Going this year as well. It is called Vrindavan. And there is a very interesting little episode which is told by one of the saints who lived there. He's still alive, and I must, but first, before telling about you, these people who live there, they are spiritual practitioners of all types of directions, but many, many worshippers of Krishna. Actually, Krishna is in the air there. And you can Google in the internet, Vrindavan, and you will see amazing spiritual scene there. And in the evening, not all of them have reliable electricity. In fact, the electricity is the most unpredictable factor in that part of India. So what they do, since a long, long time, they meet in the evening in small groups of three, four, sometimes in temples. I've seen gatherings of, you know, larger gatherings, there's dancing. Then they have a candle, if they're wealthy. No, most torch light, that is available. And then they sing in the evening kirtan. No. Long, sometimes 2 hours or so. So there's one saintly person. The word which you use there is sadhu. Sadhu, or you can call him affectionately Baba, father. And he is has conducted these kirtan evenings since he is small. And every evening they meet, he is playing harmonium like Nimai, and actually, you know harmonium. And then he has his drum player who knows how to bring everything out in the rhythm section, and a few people who sing chorus, a few kartal player. And every evening they meet, since 20 years they meet like this. Now there, one evening, a terrible monsoon shower came, and monsoon, Vrindavan, that's not like your ordinary Belgium rain. It's a flood. So it was thundering and lightning flashes came, and his kirtan party or kirtan band could not imagine to even leave. Not even the finger could leave the house. There, but when you go out like this out of the door. So wet, because monsoon. The streets become, at places this high, full with water, sometimes this high full. It's not possible to walk. Of course, there are some determined people who walk even up to the hips, but this was so terrible that no one came out. So our sadhu is waiting with his harmonium to start. He is, you know, there in his kutia. It must have been a slightly elevated place so that the water was around him. And he's hopefully the kirtan party comes, because this would be the first time in 20 years where we don't sing kirtan in the evening. So he waits, but then all of a sudden, a little belated, comes the midanga player. That's enough to do a kirtan. he starts and he sings, and his Pitanga player, one thing he notices is unusually animated. And good. He responds, he's enthusiastic, he responds in a similar animated way, and the two lock eyes, like, you know, when there are musical moments which are very good in music, then the eyes lock, because they somehow there's a wireless communication between the musicians. And they play and they can't stop. They sing the whole night in abundance. And our kirtan Baba, our sadhu, is playing, and he looks all the time almost lost in admiration into the face of his drum player. He has never experienced such sweetness, such enthusiasm, such divine exalted feelings, that he doesn't stop. Finally, the morning sun is coming up and drying the streets, and he is just in ecstasy. And then the drum player says, I'm coming back in the evening. So he waits all day for that evening to come. He's somehow so electrified. And in the evening, his kirtan party comes, and he immediately goes to the drum player to receive him and says, that was a kirtan. That was wonderful kirtan. When, says the drum player? Yesterday. We sang throughout the night. There was no restriction to us. I was not there last night. How can I go? It was so, the streets were full of water. No, you were there. You came with that drum. It has a little scar. Your same drum. No, absolutely sure. I mean, I'm in my right mind. No one could come. Then he thinks, oops. Who was that Mridanga player? I think we have an idea. Huh? In Vrindavan, there are many such stories. Some of them made it into ancient scriptures, where all of a sudden Krishna takes on a disguise and comes to visit his devotees. And up to this time, there are miracles happening in that field of Vrindavan. Therefore, even tourists who come are feeling, oof, this place is special. That for me as an individual, I want to speak a little bit personal, is the miracle of kirtan. It's the promise of kirtan, and it's the experience of good kirtan, that all of a sudden you are the receiver of of the Lord. He's very, very close to you. There is a very divine energy. It is happening so that some speak of a divine presence, which is, now I need your help in the sweet English language, palpable. Palpable.
Yeah, it's a word.
Is that there's a word like this? It's, you can almost grab and hold on to it. It is palpable, greifbar, sagt man in Deutsch. If that says something to you. And that usually happens, first of all, it happens without any rule and regulations. That we have to say, that it's unconditional. We can't create the conditions that this happen. But we can show, at least, that we are in a ready mood. And we can call this mood a receiver mood. And therefore, during kirtans, it is very important, yes, that we focus in the initial beginning of it. But then we should also let go of the focus and just be receivers. And I would like you to make this, you know, that we try this a little bit by singing now a kirtan, where you should just bring your attention that helps you to receive. It's some of the points in your which you can press, you know, just like you can press this one between the forehead. Not press in a physical way. I meant you can access it here in the back. You should just listen to the kirtan, and more than it, of course respond. You can also you should also sing, but as you do this, you just let it come. Yeah? Let it. If it comes, it is. My English is not so expressive. Unverfügbar, if this says something to you, and it's you can't rule or control this. It comes, but you can open yourself up. So again, sit properly. Yeah. I think it's not. Sing, we will not focus, we will just receive, so to say. We will listen, but to receive the spiritual presence. Everyone, please sing. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna. It might help if you, inside of you, frame your experience a little bit. Come back to yourself and connect with that form of the Lord you can connect to easily. Maybe a deity on the altar picture, but please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Island where I lived, there are albatross birds, and the albatross teaches us something important for kirtan. It runs sometimes up to 50 to 70 meters on its own strength, and then it moves off the ground and it flies. You can see the poor thing working hard. And then it catches the breeze or the wind, sometimes the storm, and it can be carried for days without coming down. No effort, just staying there and saying Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So kirtan has this vishaya element where you focus. Hope I get it right. Yes, vishaya, where you focus, and then where you receive the wind, the divine energy of the holy name. It moves you on, and these two elements should be there, and of course you can go very, very far if you are entering the sky of this sambandha, this vast knowledge of, you know, where you exit the world as you know it, exit your ego, your constructed reality, and come in contact with the soul, being a part of the Supreme Lord. And then when you never leave that sky, even the moment of death is not a problem for you. You will just move on, fly on, carried by the wind of the spiritual energy. I thank you very much. I have a note here. which I should look at without you seeing it. Oh, it means time. I thank you very much for being with us. Tomorrow another secret of Kirtan will hopefully be revealed. I thank you. I must admit this workshop was a little bit, let us call it the albatross workshop. At the end we were a little bit flying, you know. I could see here by the sound that we were flying in the Kirtan. I wish you a good appetite. There is wonderful prasadam waiting for every one of you. Again, I want to invite, some of you are coming, but really in the evening, starting at 8:15. And I hope that, not hope, but I think, our, what? 7:30 we start. Oh, is it? No, not sure. No. 8:15 in the temple. I, as far as I heard, the little boys and girls from London, which are also here, they are part of a school, spiritually oriented school called the Avanti Schools. But they are little boys and girls, like everyone else in that age. And I think they are busy this evening. Anyone knows?
We know they've gone to the adventures of it. If anything, be tired.
Yeah, yes, they will be tired. They are, you know, what is it called? Sliding down slides and doing what young boys and young girls do with their energy the whole day. So in some adventure park, and they will come. I heard they will not come. Anyways, we will serve them very short. See, you have to keep their attention. If you tell them this, they will not be able to fly. But if we tell them jump up and down, that's what they can do. All right. See you, Haribol.